Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. It is good to be here after a four-hour drive and driving real fast. I'm not going to lie. Y'all got to pray for me. I was breaking the law. On the way home, I need prayer for restraint, so I'll just stick to the speed limit. But it's good to be here. Thank you for the opportunity and the just to be with you all. It's a beautiful drive on the way up here. I'm from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We say Lancaster. There's no A. It's just an I. Wait a minute. There's no A. There's an I. No, that's just the way we say it. We decided we're saying it that way. We're leaving it like that. It's Lancaster. It was a beautiful drive up this morning. Got to drive through the part of Pennsylvania I never drive through. In my mind, the only part of Pennsylvania there is the southeastern part. It's us and Philadelphia. And the rest of the state belongs to New York. Y'all can have it. Or we might take the rest of New York outside of New York City. How's that? Something like that. But listen, it is a joy to be here. I'm excited. I got to hang out and walk around the campus. And I'm more than just the location. I'm looking forward to being able to connect with many of you all. As Dr. A shared with you, I have the privilege of doing ministry at Journey Church, but more importantly, I have the privilege of being married to my wife, Tammy. Tammy's my best friend. We met at church camp. Any church kids up in the house? Anybody church kids? Went to church camp? That's what I did. I found my wife at church camp in the mountains of San Bernardino, California. Walked into the church camp, and she was singing the lead for the choir. And I said, Lord, you know what I want. Hallelujah. And the rest is history. We've got five boys ranging in age from 17 to 4. That means I have no idea how to plan a family. That's what that means. And y'all just pray for me. I've got kids in basketball and flag football and soccer, and I just find myself running everywhere. But I love them. They are the first ministry. And then we have the privilege of leading Journey Church. And we are multicultural, generational, Spirit-filled, alive church that is growing, and God has just been so faithful. And let me tell y'all, we planted Journey Church at 23 years old. I don't recommend it. But at 23 years old, the Lord put it on our hearts, and we've been serving there going on 19 years on May 1st. And my wife and I are just delighted and just so grateful for God's grace. Well, I came here, and I got an assignment. On my way up, I talked to my mother. My mother is one of my biggest cheerleaders, and on the way up, she calls me. As a matter of fact, anytime I'm traveling, I have to let her know when I get there and then when I'm leaving. Anybody got a mom like that? It doesn't end. It's going to continue out the rest of your life. And on the way up, I was talking with her, and she has this thing that she's been saying to me for a long time. Before pastoring, I was doing the itinerant speaking thing, and I was just jumping on planes and flying different places. And when I got married and we started having children, she says, hey, every time you leave your family, that's a big deal. And she said this, she says, make it count. She's been saying that to me for years, and it was no different this morning as I was driving up. She said, hey, you're going to be away from your wife and boys today. Make it count. Make sure you preach the word. Make sure that you let it all hear. And this is what we say now is make sure that when you leave that town, the devil knows you left. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I want to talk to you this morning from the subject that is near to my heart. I believe it is a subject that we need to hear given the state of the church. I want to talk to you from the subject body positive. Body positive. And if I could give you a sub-thought for this this message, it would be how to love the church when it's broken. How to love the church when it's broken. Brother Gabriel, I think it's right. Gabriel, right? When it's time for me to wrap it up, give me the wrap it up music right behind me. At the 5-minute mark, that'd be so helpful. Again, I want to talk to you from the subject body positive. And I am a holler back preacher. And that means I'm probably going to holler at you, not because I'm mad at you. Maybe it's a little bit of the Puerto Rican, maybe a little bit of the Pentecostal background growing up in church, okay? So if I start hollering at you, I'm not mad at you. I just want you to holler back at me. That'll tell me you're alive, right? I'm a holler back preacher, right? And then we got to laugh a little bit. So loosen up, turn to your neighbor, say, you look good. turn to your second choice. Tell them you too. That second choice is always weird, isn't it? Isn't it always weird? Second choice. Okay. So let's go to the word of the Lord, because we can't preach without God's word. If you preach anything but outside of God's word, you're in trouble. So let's go to the book of Romans, chapter number 12, verses 4 through 5. I'm reading from the NIV this morning because I like the way it reads. Romans 12, 4 and 5, and then we're going to go to Mark 16, the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 16, verse number 1. Here's what it says. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. I'm going to say that again. We, though many, form what? One body. And each member belongs to all the others. Mark 16 and 1 says this. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Father, thank you for this time of worship and fellowship. Pray that you'll bless this word this morning. Minister to our hearts. Speak to us in a way that is so profound that there will be no doubt in our mind that we have heard from you this morning. Speak right now in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Body positive. Body positive is a social movement focused on empowering individuals no matter their physical weight or size, while also challenging the ways in which society presents and views the physical body. The movement advocates the acceptance of all bodies, regardless of physical ability, size, gender, race, or appearance. How do you know this? Well, I had to Google it because I have a 17-year-old son who just got a lot of questions, and he thinks his dad is Google. And one day he had seen something on social media about this body positive movie. He says, Dad, what is that all about? And I started to research it and got this very basic definition. Now, some of you that may be a little more versed in the body positive movement, I am aware that the tentacles of that movement stretch out way far, farther than I can share with you this morning. But I do want you to have a basic idea of what it means to be body positive. Here it is in a nutshell. It means whether you have a six-pack or if it's unpacked like mine is right now. You learn to love yourself. Come on, somebody. If you're a 6, ladies, you're a size 6 or a 16. You love yourself. If brothers, if you're a size 30 or a 48, come on. You love yourself. You are body positive. And I remember when my son had asked me this question, it was about the time we were in the thick of the COVID thing. And I was doing some research on it as I was preparing to minister at another conference. And I started reading into this. And I thought to myself, the world has managed to find a way to be positive about things that are probably not so positive. They have managed to find a way to take something that would be a negative and say, maybe I should stop eating some of those Twinkies. I'm talking to me, not you, me. I'm not shaming you, but me. Maybe I should lay off chips. Y'all, I have this thing with cheese and chips. Cheese and chips just gets me every single time. Maybe I should let those go because, as you can see, in this area right here, it's getting a little round. The world has managed to take those types of things and spin it and make it positive and say, you know what, we're going to make sure that everyone views themselves in a positive light. Now, I'm thinking about this one day and thinking to myself, the world has managed to take something that is probably not positive and turned it and made it positive, and yet we, the church, struggle with doing the very same thing. Now, can I just take you to the text in Mark chapter 16? These brave followers of Christ, these women of God, they loved the body of Christ so much that they were determined to do whatever they could to protect and preserve it for as long as they could. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about the two Marys and Salome. Jesus has died. He has been put in the tomb. They're in that space between Friday and Sunday. And these women of God are saying, we've got to go and take some of these precious ointments and put it on the body of Jesus to cover the smell. Now, they knew that his body was bloody. They knew that it was broken. They knew that it was not in its perfect state. And yet they loved the body of Christ, the lifeless, dead, broken, bloody body of Christ enough to go and see about it. Now, the main reason a dead body was anointed with spices was to control the smell of decomposition. Jews did not practice embalming, and funeral spices were a way to help minimize the unpleasant odors. Keep that thought in your mind. It's a way to minimize the unpleasant odors. The spices the women brought to Jesus' tomb were intended to eliminate such an odor, and here's the next part, to honor the body of Christ. The body of Christ, again, was broken, but it didn't matter. The body of Christ was bruised, but it did not matter. The body of Christ was lifeless, but it did not matter. The body of Christ smelled unpleasant, but it did not matter. Why? Because they loved the body of Christ. Anything to be near their Savior. Anything to preserve the one who has preserved them. And here's the reality is, sometimes the body stinks. Everybody needs a friend in their world who will tell them when they stink. Look down your row. Is that the friend? Is it not the friend? I need the kind of friends that when I stink, come on, love me enough to tell me. See, y'all laughing. Hopefully it's not because you're thinking about somebody. Hopefully it's because you're a good friend. But sometimes the body stinks. I don't care how cute you are. If you get out there in that hot sun and get to running, it is going to stink. Now, that is the natural body, but the spiritual man even more. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." This is the Paul that's writing 2/3 of the New Testament. He's saying there's still this brokenness in me. This spiritual man stinks time to time. And I will say this, collectively, sometimes the body of Christ stinks. Are you coming down on the body of Christ at a Bible college? No, I'm speaking to our reality. We're not living under a rock. I don't know about you. Sometimes I am scared to go on social media to see what the church did this week. How many of you scared to go to TikTok? What are they going to say about us this week? And what did we do to give them the right to say something crazy about us? Because the reality is the body of Christ stinks. Sometimes it doesn't smell pleasant. Sometimes it is broken. Sometimes it is bloody, it's broken. But maybe not here at Elam, because you guys are just saved and sanctified and full of the Spirit of God. You've got your Bibles and you're on your... Turn to your neighbor and say, it stinks in here too. You see, here's why it stinks, because sometimes our personalities get in the way of the person of Christ. And anybody got a big personality? And sometimes Jesus is like, can you please go to the back? Like, please, you're going. That's me. Sorry. I'm not going to talk about you guys. Don't talk about me. This is my personal therapy session. Sometimes our politics govern our behavior and guide our theology. It stinks. Sometimes we get angry and irritable with people when life isn't going well for us. We stink. Sometimes we get full of pride. Sometimes our pride spills over to the point where we hurt people with our words. The reality is sometimes the body stinks. And I'll be the first to tell you, yes, it needs to be corrected. Yes, the body sometimes needs to be rebuked. Yes, the body definitely needs to be challenged by the Word of God. Yes, all those things are true. The body stinks, and it needs correction, it needs rebuke, and it needs challenge. But there's this quote that I came across in my studies a few months back. It says this, in an attempt to hinder, if not altogether halt, the next move of God, Satan has set forth an army of fault-finding demons against the church. The purpose of this assault is to entice the body of Christ away from the perfections of Jesus and onto the imperfections of one another. And this is why in droves, young men and young women in the faith are walking away from the church, because they're learning that the body stinks and they don't know what to do with it. They don't know, how do I handle the fact that sometimes the thing that the world thinks is supposed to be perfect is actually broken. And it's in need of the Savior that we're preaching about. It's the reason why thousands have gone to TikTok to share their horror stories. And let me tell you, I'm not here to gloss over the abuse that has happened in the name of God. We will shine the light of God's truth on that. But I will tell you that there are thousands and thousands, and maybe even the millions of people who are walking away from the faith because they've come to realize that sometimes the body stinks. As I was driving on the way here, I was saying, Lord, are you sure this is the message that you want to speak? I mean, I could say something with a little more joy. We can get excited and run out the door. But I think this is the most important message given the time that we are in the church. You need to be equipped with this understanding that it is possible for the body to stink and you still love it. It is possible for the church to be broken and you still possess a passion for the church. It is possible for us to have, again, a bloody, broken body and it still be loved. And we see that example in these three powerful women of God. As in the middle of the night, they stand to go and put some precious ointment on the body of Jesus to preserve a broken, bloody body. If that isn't a picture of what his body would be post his resurrection, yes, in the spirit, yes, positionally we have been sanctified and saved, but the reality is there is still a brokenness, there's still sin that we're dealing with as we're traveling on this road through this earth. And he gives us this picture saying, hey, it is possible for you to still love the body while it's broken. And I knew that I was coming to speak to Bible college students, that if there's anything that someone needs to tell Bible college students today, let it be that, yes, you are going to see brokenness in the church, but don't let it make you become cynical. Don't you let it set in your heart and you assume that there's no good people and there's no good ministries and there are the devil is a liar. And so is his mama. Everybody connected to him is a liar. He's a liar, and here is the truth. I just talked about the devil's mama, didn't I? I told you we got a laugh here. I can't do that serious stuff without a laugh here. Someone needs to stand and affirm this truth, that it is possible for the church to be broken, and yet we have a love for it. Does that love mean that we gloss over its brokenness? Absolutely not. To do that would be to dishonor the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. It's to look at the sufficient Savior, look at his blood that came to wash us, and say it's not enough to fix us. The devil is a liar. He can fix us with his blood. We can be restored. We can be renewed. But it is to say that even while it is broken, I can still have a body positive view. Let me make that declaration. I am body positive. Maybe not with this thing, because I know this is here and it needs work. But when it comes to the body of Christ, despite what I see on TikTok, despite what I see on Instagram, despite what I see the Facebook fights that your parents and grandparents are in, because y'all ain't even on that anymore. Do you know they left Facebook? They got mad at the old people and said, we're leaving. We're not even going there anymore. Some of you don't even know your Facebook password. I bet you if I ask you around, see, look at them. They're laughing. I'm trying to help. They ain't there. They left. Despite all that junk that you see on there, I'm telling you, there's got to be, the church has to stand and say, in the midst of it, we're going to remain positive. In the midst of it, we're going to look at the brokenness of the church and still say that she's still the thing that Christ came and died for. We're going to look at the work of the ministry and say, yes, there are some people out there that may be doing it in a way that dishonors God, and it may be dishonoring his name, but guess what? There are still some. There are still some that he has called and raised up in this hour to do a great work. We cannot allow ourselves to become so dejected by what we see going on around us that we run and hide in a cave. Like Elijah. He's in a cave and he starts having his own little pity party. And he says, Lord, there ain't nobody here. It's only me. I'm the only one standing for you, Jesus. And the Lord's like, are you crazy? I got 7,000. You fool. That's my translation. I'm sorry. I got 7,000 other men and women of God who have not bowed their knee to Baal. I've got other people that I've raised up, and that's the problem with constantly being bombarded with negative images of the church, is that we start to assume that nobody's good. That's becoming cynical. And the reality is there are people standing firm for the truth of God's word. There are people that are living holy every single day. There are men and women of God who are mounting up in leadership in the church who are doing it in a God-honoring way. But because all we are getting bombarded with is negative images, it's easy for us to believe the former. And this is why I'm challenging you today, this morning, to become body positive. For I'm challenging you to say, wait a minute, yes, the church has its flaws and we will deal with them. Christ will deal with them, but I'm still with the church. I'm still standing firm in the church. Why? Because this is the one thing that Christ came and gave himself for. And I believe it's the best thing we got. Now, I think part of this discussion is that we have to have a better understanding of ecclesiology. We have to know what the church is and what it isn't. And we got to stop letting the world dominate the conversation on what the church is and what the, you know what, I'm tired of people defining something they don't even want to be a part of. How dare us allow the world to reinterpret what the church is for us? I come across so many Christians like, where did you get the definition? And they're like, oh, I saw it on TV or TikTok. Are you kidding me? You got a whole Bible that will outline for you what the church is, and you are allowing somebody who hates the church to define the church. We've got to get a better understanding of what the church is. And here's the reality. Let me apologize. Maybe it wasn't me directly, but let me apologize for preachers. Let me apologize for men and women of God who did a poor job of teaching what the true church is. We got so caught up in building our own things, building our local ministries, that we forgot, wait a minute, you've got to have a proper understanding of ecclesiology, because if you don't, then it's easy to become cynical about something God never died for. He didn't die for that thing right there. His purpose was to come and draw all men, all sinners, unto him if he be lifted up. And we have to have a proper view and understanding of that. You see, we can choose to expose or to ridicule the body of Christ when it stinks, or we can choose to love the body of Christ. And my challenge for you this morning is to do the latter. It's to love the body of Christ. It is not to deny that it is broken. Because I find so many Christians saying, well, we ought not talk about the brokenness. No, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it because Jesus died for that brokenness. Let's talk about it because his blood is enough to wash us of that brokenness. We don't have to hide it. We don't have to skip over it. No. Let's be truthful about it so Jesus can come in and he can do his work in our lives. But I think there ought to be a part of us that says, I'm not going to be a part of the news frenzy. I'm not going to be a part of those who have made it up in their mind that I'm going to spend the rest of my life destroying the thing that Jesus died for. And I'm telling you, there's an attack on you, on this generation, unlike any other generation before. And I'll be honest with you, and the church has helped. So many in the church has helped the enemy in his attack on the church. Because we haven't stood firm and we haven't called sin, sin, and we haven't corrected what needs to be corrected. And I'm just standing with you this morning. Maybe I can't speak for every preacher in America, but let it be known that there's one. There's one, maybe two, three others out there that are saying, you know what, we're not going to stand for that. That isn't biblical. That isn't what God has authored. But guess what? He still loves the church. Yes, there are broken parts of this body, but he still loves the church. I love the scripture in Ephesians 4:16. He says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. We need each other. The body of Christ doesn't work if we all the members are all separated. He says there are many members, but there's one body. And that's the great attack that I see in this hour. Is this the division, this idea that we can have these factions? No, we're one body, and we have to stand firm as one body in Christ. And the greatest test, the greatest challenge maybe for your generation as you step into the leadership realm of the church, you'll find is how are we going to remain positive in a world that wants to destroy the image of the church? How do we remain positive about something that we've seen? It is broken and it needs repair. How do we keep our eyes on Jesus when all the imagery around us is telling us that thing don't work no more? The church is dead. It's finished. It's over. I don't know if you know where we are in Lancaster, but we are in the center of farm country. Like, our church is like next to, like, I almost hit 15 Amish buggies on the way to church on Sundays. Straight up. That's like the truth. Like, not, that's not an exaggeration. That's, I got to be careful because I like to drive fast. Y'all pray for me. So he's still working on me. I'm broken. I'm bloody. But we got these Amish buggies, right? And here's our story as a church. Let me give you our story as a church. We started in 2005 in Lancaster City. Believe it or not, Lancaster has a city. About 90,000 total between the Lancaster City and the township. About 90,000 people. Mostly people of color. Hispanic, African American. That's the community that we started our church in. And in 2005, because we were in that space, that's who we were drawing. My own personal testimony is I was in a Hispanic church from age from the day I was born. I think I was born at church, believe it or not. I don't know. Still trying to figure out the story. But I spent so much time in church, I think I was born there. From the time I was born to 15 years old, I was in a bilingual Hispanic church. At 16 years old, I moved to an African-American church. All my formal ministry training happened in the African-American church. So ministering to Hispanics and African-Americans was easy. I could do it with my eyes closed. I know these people. This is my family. And then in the middle of this great revival, we had baptized 175 people in 1 year. Brand new converts. Not transfers, not people that knew Jesus. We're talking about brand new people because we were having church at the movie theater. It'd be me at 9:30, Fast and the Furious at 10:30. Literally, there were times I was in the middle of my altar call and the movie, the previews would start in the back screen. Oh, it was terrible, y'all. But we're in the middle of this great revival. This great revival. God is moving. People's lives are being transformed. Families are being set free. It was incredible. And all of a sudden, the movie theater said, guess what? We're done. We're getting ready to put those reclining seats in here. And an auditorium that seated 425 was going to go down to 170. The problem was we already had maxed out the 425-seat auditorium. We were already trying to figure out how we can squeeze two services in on a Sunday morning. Because we didn't have enough room. And here we were with nowhere to go. Several hundred people coming to church every single week. Nowhere to go. And I find myself at Sight and Sound watching the Moses production. Walked into the auditorium, looked up to the ceiling and said, man, I could do church in here. And a friend of mine's wife, whose daughter was in the play, said, you know, the building down the street's available. I quickly got on my phone and texted one of our elders, said, hey, I heard the building down the street from Sight and Sound's available. Call and see. 1 week later, I'm standing on the stage of that building with the founder of Sight and Sound, Glenn Eshelman. Farmer. A farmer with an eighth grade education. All he knows to do is farm and paint. He's an incredible man of God. And I'm standing here, a Puerto Rican kid from the 7th Ward of Lancaster City. These two opposites. Standing on this stage, and God's getting ready to do something crazy. We get this crazy idea. We're going to move this primarily African-American and a Hispanic church. We're going to take them out of the city and put them out in Amish country. I have people say, it ain't going to last a month. It ain't going to last a week. There's no way it's going to happen. You guys can't do that. Those are too many different people. You're in a different community. Well, we got there in 2014. It's 2024. We own the building, we own the land, and we got more land, and we're building there. Why am I sharing this with you? Because someone had a negative view of the body of Christ. They didn't think that white folks and black folks and Hispanic folks in our community could come together and worship God because they thought our differences are the way we vote. They thought our color and our cultural differences were enough to keep us separated and apart. You know what the Lord has done in my heart and in my life over these last 10 years is he has taught me how to be body positive. He has taught me how to see that there is brokenness, and yes, racism does exist, and yes, there are differences culturally, and yes, we have political differences, but here's the reality, is if we can find our center in Jesus, that there are ways to work through those things and see the blessing and the manifestation of God's presence on our church. And I'm sharing this with you because I'm telling you that there are so many skeptics out there. There are so many people saying, it's not worth it. Why are you going to Bible college? Go get you a real degree. Some of y'all are laughing because you heard that. Why would you go and waste your time at Bible college? And more importantly, what they're saying is the message you're preaching isn't even being received anymore. But I came here on assignment. I drove all this way to just speak this word to somebody. You're in the right place at the right time. And God's going to show up big in your life because you're where you need to be. And while the world may be negative about the body of Christ and what God is doing, I'm here to let you know that God is doing a work. There's nothing that the world can do to shake that or even change that. But he's just looking for some people that are standing being counted in this hour. He's looking for some young men and women of God who will say, you know what, I'll give my life to it. I'll give my 20s to building a church. I'll give my life to planning. I'll give my life to missions. I'll give my life to whatever. I'll give my life to it. Even though all the world around me is saying it's not worth it. That it's too broken. That it's too lost of a... It's a lost cause. You can't redeem this thing. You can't fix this. You can't turn this around. I came to give you a word too. Yes, you can. Yes, we can. By the grace of God, we're going to stand in this hour. And we're going to trust that God is going to begin to... He's going to begin to prick the hearts of young men and young women around this entire region. And they're going to need a place where they can come and they can be body positive. They're going to need a place where they can come and their faith can be affirmed and it can be strengthened and they can be empowered. I'm telling you, he can do it right here. And what seemed lost and what seemed broken and what seemed dead, all that was needed was three women. Do you know that they, well, I'm ending here. Do you know that they went and they were prepared to put that stuff on Jesus' body because they loved him so much? And Jesus was like, I got one for you. When you get here, I ain't gonna be here. Read the rest of the passage. They had all their stuff. They had, if it was ladies, it was a bag, a big bag. Maybe a Louis bag. If it was a good month, a Louis, a bad month, an MK. That's what she was rocking with, right? And it was probably big because, you know, my wife, whenever we go somewhere, I'm like, honey, we're going away to New York City for the weekend. She packs like we're going for 3 months. I can imagine them ladies, they were rolling that thing. Where y'all going? We're going to go see about Jesus' body. Why? Because we don't want it to stink. But he's dead. I know, but we love him so much. But it's over. I know what they're saying, but we just want to go see him. I just got to see his face one more time. Imagine if God would begin to stir that kind of passion in the hearts of his people right now. And we begin to look at the church and say, I know you think she's dead. I know you think she's dead. I know you think she's finished. I know you think that her best days are behind her, but no, I don't know. I just trust. I just know that there's something about the church, there's something about the body that God's not done with. And if you just get the faith to carry your bag and to head in that direction, here's what God does. God says, I'll meet you. They were on their way there, and God says, I'll meet you. What do you mean? I mean, they got there, and this is the question they asked. Who's going to roll the stone away? When we get there, who's going to push that thing to the side so we can see Jesus' body? And then when they get there, the stone's already, come on now. If that ain't a picture that God will meet us when our heart is joined to his heart, when our will is joined to his will, I don't know where else you can go in scripture to find that. I'm going to end with this, and my prayer is that God will raise a church in this hour. He's going to raise up a church in this hour, not because of their perfection, but because of their pursuit. Did you hear that? Get that right, because that'll shift your perspective. That'll shift the way you see things. God is not raising up a church in this hour because of their perfection, but because of their pursuit. I remember being in a prayer meeting with an old church mother, Mother Judy McLeod. We would have prayer service. This is Storefront Church. I don't know if y'all know nothing about Storefront Church. Some of y'all might know. But Storefront Church, where we had raggedy old metal chairs, like the kind of metal chairs, like not WWF, that's wrestling, it's WWE now, I think it is. Not those kind of metal chairs where it bends. If someone hit one of those wrestlers with this chair, they would die. These were like heavy metal chairs. And then they had so much rust on them, after you sat on them, you needed a tetanus shot. That's how bad it was. This was Storefront Church. I'm talking little holes on the floor. Like, we didn't have carpet. It was bad, y'all. I remember we would have these Tuesday night prayer meetings, and we would, before we prayed, because we had no carpet on the floor, they'd give out prayer pillows. How many of you ever been in the church where you got prayer pillows? Put them on your knees so you don't wake up with arthritis in both knees. And we're in a prayer meeting, and we're down on our knees, and I was about 16 years old at the time, and Sister Judy McLeod, Mother Judy, would just pray, and she was a prayer warrior. She was the kind of person that had a developed prayer language. When she prayed, I just would write things down so that I can use in my next prayer. You ever meet someone that prays so good, you think that when we get to heaven, they're going to be the one responsible for praying for everything? That's how Mother Judy was. She prayed like that. And here's what she did to me. She said this. She said, Lord, make me perfect in my press. And I said, afterward, Mama Judy, what do you mean by that? She says, I just want to pursue him. I want to press after him. He goes, I know that so long as I got this stinky old flesh, I might not ever be perfect, but I want to pursue him with everything that I got. Lord, make me perfect in my press. It's the prayer I've been praying since I was about 15 years old. Lord, I may not get it right all today, but if you get me perfect in any way, help me to get back to you when I run from you. My prayer is that today for this group, that you would not be looking for perfection, but that we would be looking towards the pursuit of that perfection that comes in our pursuit of God. And let that drive our love for the church. Would you bow your heads with me all around this room? Father, thank you for this holy moment. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to young leaders, world changers. In this room, God, there is great influence because there are people who have been called by your name, have been anointed for this hour, who are in the season of development for what is to come next. And Father, I pray as they represent an entire generation around the world, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would turn their heart to you in such a way they would have a positive view of the body and the positive view of the church. I pray as they live in a world where the church is being torn down daily, that they would stand and affirm that you love the church. When they see the broken body of the church, that they would be reminded that your body was broken for that broken body. That they would not be drawn into this place of cynicism, but that rather, Father, they would love the church. They would gather their ointments. They would gather their spices. And they would look for the broken parts of the body. And they would offer those ointments. They would offer that healing balm. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the revival that you are stirring here on this campus. And I pray that you'll continue to send an overflow. That you'll continue to stir the hearts of young men and young women around this region. And you would lead them to a safe place. You will lead them to this body. Father, I thank you for all that you're doing. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Can you shout amen with me, everybody? Thank you for your time this morning. God bless you.